For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Caught! Touchdown! Kansas City!
Hey, Chiefs Kingdom, we have you covered. Joining Sports Daily Live, executive producer of the Chiefs Radio Network, Dan Israel.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. It is hour number two on the program here. Jacob Albrecht, Tommy Kester with you on this Wednesday edition. We've got Dan with the holiday week. We've got everything shuffled up a little bit, but it's perfect because the Chiefs open up the season, tomorrow night at home against Baltimore. You'll hear the game. You'll hear the Chiefs Radio Network, where Dan is the executive producer, over on KNSS, your home of the Chiefs here in Wichita. Excited to have it. Dan, does it feel like we're in football season yet? You ready for this?
Almost. It is just around the corner. I love that the tradition of Red Friday has kind of now become the tradition of Red Wednesday. Isn't that crazy? What a blessing.
Yeah, like we start these Thursday night openers, it becomes a tradition. The Chiefs lost it last week, or last year, I should say, to the Lions. I got to tell you, I'm feeling squirrely on this one with the Ravens. I don't know why. Well, I do know why, because they added Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
I just cannot imagine John Harbaugh is going to make the same mistake he made in that AFC Championship game by not running the ball. I think we're going to get a real test for the Chiefs defense, the somewhat new look defense, to see if they can stop the run, because they weren't tested in that game last year for whatever reason. I would imagine Baltimore runs the crap out of the ball tomorrow, and it's going to be tough.
Yeah, it's hard to believe, Jacob, they'd make the same mistakes twice, right? I mean, I think if anybody looks at that AFC Championship, the one thing you look at is, why did Baltimore abandon the run? I mean, that's their bread and butter, and they got rid of it. Well, they're even more committed to it now, right, with Derrick Henry. And I've been up close to Derrick Henry on multiple occasions. And, gentlemen, I'm telling you, it's scary. The man is huge. He is just he's like a massive tree trunk. And so I think the addition of him makes this team a very formidable AFC opponent. And frankly, that's exactly why we're all a little nervous, right? I do think it's interesting the parallels to 1969 here, where the Chiefs opened the next season, the 70 season, after winning the Super Bowl against the Vikings in 69, they opened the 70 season against the Vikings, and they did get trounced. You know, I mean, the Vikings had a lot of revenge to play, and I'm sure the Ravens are coming to town that way too. So you take a very good team, a well-coached team, and you put a little, you know, piss and vinegar behind it, and what you got is Thursday night. It'll be entertaining for sure.
You know, Dan, I think that part of the reason why, you know, I would anticipate the Ravens just trying to run the crap out of the ball, and not only Derrick Henry, but also the fact that probably stopping the run is maybe one of, I don't know, the weak spots potentially with this defensive line. We know that pass rush is there, and it has been there, you know, with the guys that are returning for the most part. But I'm really interested to see how well they can try to stop the run. And, you know, I know that you can't really contain Derrick Henry, but at least you hope to slow him down. What do you want to see from the defensive line if it does end up looking like the Ravens are going to run the ball a lot?
You know, I really feel like you can rattle Lamar Jackson. He hasn't proven to me that he has the the gravitas to kind of sit through those trying times and make it out the other side, making something happen, whether it's a behind the back or a sidearm pass or all the things we see Mahomes do when he gets cornered. I feel like Lamar Jackson can be put in kind of a, you know, pushed into a place where he's uncomfortable, which is odd. Now, keep in mind, Jackson's only 27 years old. He feels like he's been around a long time, to be honest with you, but he's only 27 years old. So he's going to continue to get better every year. I thought last year the Ravens saw him get better as a pocket passer, sitting back there and kind of relaxing in those middle of the field downfield throws. He got very good at. He would sit back in the pocket and he looked like a Tom Brady for a minute. Not so much on the sides, throwing the passes to the sideline, not very accurate, not throwing on the run like Mahomes, but he does still scramble with those legs. So I want to see the Chiefs defense get enough pressure on him to rattle them, because I think that's one of the things we saw in the fourth quarter of that AFC championship is they melted down. The Chiefs stood firm, and they melted down. I'd like to see that again, but it's going to be a tough call, let me tell you.
Well, in that, and that's kind of a part of it, I think, where the fear comes in. To me, it's the defense. Can they be what they were last year? Yeah, Lamar Jackson can be put into a corner, but can he be without Snead? You know, can you without a spy, kind of with Willie Gay? And a pass rush that we've had questions about coming into this season. So I think that's where I look at it and I'm like, okay, this defense, here's your test. Can you be what you were? And again, I don't think long-term they need to be as good as they were, because I think the offense is way better, but I think the defense will get its truest test right here out of the gates. If they can do well against the Ravens, then I'm in, but it just seems like a very tall task here in this opener to get that done.
Yeah, no doubt. I think one of the things that's interesting too, Jacob, is like a normal run game, a team with a normal run game, one of the things that they experience is they're not explosive. They just slowly and methodically accumulate points over four quarters. That's the way the run game works. Not so with Derrick Henry. Man, he is one step away from breaking it and being gone. And so you kind of get that run game with that explosive potential. I don't like that recipe. It's going to be a full dance card for the Chiefs defense. We're going to see right from the get-go here how good they are and whether or not they can make adjustments as fast as the other guy.
Offensively, Dan, the Chiefs made an acquisition over the weekend. They signed Samaje Perine to join the running back room. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is on the non-football injury list for the first four games, won't play for the team. And, you know, first and foremost, you never, you know, want to wish ill will on Clyde Edwards-Helaire. However, I do think that with the addition of Samaje Perine, I actually like the running back room better with Perine instead of CEH there in the rotation, primarily because he adds that additional threat of pass catching out of the backfield that they don't have, you know, they didn't have when they chose to not re-sign Jerick McKinnon. What do you see from Samaje Perine? What does he bring to the team? And do you think he'll be worked in right away tomorrow night in the game?
Yeah, those are all good questions, Tommy. I think one of the things that's fascinating about this is, who was going to replace Jerick McKinnon? Because Jerick McKinnon just kind of quietly got this chunk of work done when you were third and short and you could depend on him. And, you know, it seems like he wasn't a feature guy necessarily. So, you know, the loss of him might not be significant. It does. It is. And so I feel like Perine was a good addition to that. Now, how quickly can he come up on a 400-page playbook? I don't know. I guess it would somewhat depend on how different his scheme was than what ours is. But I love the idea of having him back there, because as much as the Cinderella story of Carson Steele attracts me, you need more than two running backs. It's just a fact of the matter. You just need more than two running backs, even on a team whose offense necessarily doesn't feature the run. The way Pacheco runs, he's so violent that, you know, that's a very wear and tear kind of situation, and you don't want to be going anywhere. You don't want to go on a long trip without a spare tire, you know.
Executive producer of the Chiefs Radio Network, Dan Israel, joining us in the other part of the offense, the passing game. I've wondered this for a little while, Dan, is Hollywood Brown's not going to play. Do you think they open it more to Worthy in that scenario? They've had time to do that as the rookie, or is this more of, you know, they've got two guys who've been in this offense and Watson and Smith-Schuster. You know, does Worthy step into a larger role with Hollywood being out early, or do they just try to have replacement value with some of these other guys, do you think?
I would think it's a larger role. I think one of the things that you see with young guys is, you know, receivers are ultimately tasked with knowing the X, Y, and Z positions. And I think when they bring them in, sometimes, you know, you teach them 40 plays and you just say, just learn the X position on these 40 plays, or just learn one position on each of these plays as opposed to all three of them. And so, but I think what you have when you have a guy go down is then you see a situation of, hey, this was going to be a featured wideout. Who's going to step into that role? And it will just intrinsically push him into a higher role and to needing more knowledge. But I think they'll be careful not to just saturate and overload him, because that can certainly happen. And as much as you want to win this first game, what you don't want to do is create a head case in a receiver that takes 4 to 6 weeks to straighten out. So my guess is they will heighten his role, they will increase his role, but they won't make it a full load, a full burden to him quite yet. That would be my guess.
Dan, I want to go back to the defense and specifically the secondary. You know, getting Justin Reed back healthy, you know, is definitely great for the Chiefs heading into this season, because we weren't exactly sure what that timeline would look like for him. It's obviously going to be a challenge not having Legarius Sneed on this roster. Of course, they still have Trent McDuffie. You know, there were a couple of young cornerbacks that stepped up in the preseason as well. I'm really intrigued by, you know, as the season progresses, and we may not know specifically after just one game, but maybe after the first month or so, what the rotations look like as far as the secondary is concerned, and, you know, if it's going to be kind of replacing Sneed by committee and what that will all look like. Do you anticipate there being some growing pains in the secondary, knowing that you now don't have that two-headed monster of McDuffie and Sneed this season?
Yeah, Tommy, it's interesting. You know, for those of us who've been in radio a long time, you can put two guys together on a show. Do they have chemistry? You don't know that until you put them on the show. And I feel like it's the same with these cornerbacks. I think the most significant loss, if you were to look at the defense, the most significant loss is certainly Sneed, and then right behind him, Willie Gay. And I think one of the things about losing Willie Gay Jr. is you had Drew Tranquil, who was almost capable of being that guy already because he fulfilled that role already with the injuries that came to Gay previously. So I think that if you look at the linebacker, you can say, well, the depth is really what got hit on that, not the starter, because Tranquil, in my opinion, is capable of starting. However, with Sneed, that is completely different. That is not an easy position to just step into. While McDuffie may come down to be a top five defensive back, and wouldn't surprise me in the least if he did, who's going to become the Trent McDuffie? If he becomes the Sneed, who becomes the Trent McDuffie?
Yeah.
I don't think the Chiefs have solved that, and I don't think they're going to be able to until they get these guys out on the field and they see who's learning the fastest, who's absorbing the quickest, who's able to have recovery speed when they make a mistake. I think that only comes from game time. But one of the things I love about Steve Spagnuolo is, man, his eyes are everywhere. He doesn't miss a thing. So it's always nice to know that, you know, for a guy who's probably, 5'9 down there, he can see over everybody and see everything on that field.
Dan, it's funny. We've gone now almost 15 minutes. We haven't talked about what has been and was the biggest question of the offseason, and that's left tackle. You got a rookie out there at left tackle. He's going to, you know, in all likelihood, take all the reps against a defense that typically is one of, if not the best defenses in football, no matter who they have on the roster, every single year they are. How much do you think he will be able to, I want to say survive, that's probably not fair, but it will be a little bit of survival mentally, I would think, against a defense like that. They're going to throw the kitchen sink at him, and he will get a perfect test to see if he's capable and ready to step up to that challenge right away.
I think you're right about the mental survival, because I think one of the things that Kings is going to find out here is that the physicality of this league is so much more intense than what most of these guys saw in college. And the speed and quickness. I mean, I remember in the early 90s, I would go be down on the field before games setting up, and running wires and working out wireless issues. And I would see guys that weighed 300 pounds and ran, you know, 5'0" 40s. And you're just thinking, that isn't right. That isn't human. It's not natural to see a man that large moving that quickly. And those defensive linemen, that's what a good defensive line is. And you take one that's experienced, a guy who plays it like a pitcher, who's throwing you a fastball and setting up his change. You know, I just think it's going to be a lot for him to absorb, but that is part of the role here. And I think that's probably one of the roles where Wanye was struggling, was to kind of get over those humps. And so you have to figure out what you have and what you don't have. And man, it's so odd here for the three of us to be talking about it. The maybe the most difficult game of the season is Thursday night, the very first game.
Yeah, Dan, I mean, I really think, too, when we're talking about, I know the offensive line has been, you know, a little bit of a question mark, at least on the left tackle. I wonder, and I know they've locked up Creed Humphrey. I know that they feel really confident, you know, especially with the interior of that line. Do you anticipate, it hasn't been talked about a whole lot recently, at least with Joe Tooney. I know he was working his way back from an injury as well. That left side of the line, left of Creed Humphrey, you've got some inexperience with, you know, the new left tackle, and then Joe Tooney. Do we know if he's 100%, if he's going to be ready to rock tomorrow night?
I would say not 100%, but he will somehow reach down and find out a way to get to 99%. You know, I mean, he's just that kind of guy. And I do think the interior three, Tooney and Creed and Trey Smith, I just think are so accomplished at what this offense requests of them to do that it does make it lessen for the right and left tackles. However, and I would also add into that the creativity of Andy Reid, the mobility of Patrick Mahomes lessens that demand on the blind side. Mahomes is quick enough to evade traffic to his right. And so I think they're ideally set up to maybe not have their strongest positions where you would normally see those for a statue or a pocket type passer. But the tackles are just, they're asked to do so much in Andy Reid's offense that they've got to be at the very least competent, if not excel in these positions. And so I think you've got to get one of those. Somebody's got to come alive, whether it's the right side or the left side. And I'm really anxious to see how the left side goes, because we've seen it in practice. We've seen kind of sparks, and we've seen things that catch our attention that excite us, but it all comes down to how they play in a game, right? And I remember Derek Alexander, man, he was the worst practice player. You'd look at him and go, how did you make it to this league? And then on game day, he would be like Deion Sanders. It's crazy. You know, they just turn it on, turn it off.
Oh, so, I cannot wait, Dan. Yeah. What a great opener we've got. Ravens Chiefs, that rematch. It's as good as an opener as you ever get. And it'll be tomorrow. All the coverage on the Chiefs Radio Network over on KNSS tomorrow. Dan will be there, a part of it. Mitch Holthus on the call, of course, as we get ready to begin a journey for a three-peat. That's the goal. I mean, it's history is on the line this season, and it starts with a tougher game as they'll have on their schedule, Dan, tomorrow night. We can't wait for it.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
There goes Dan Israel. Man, we picked him last week, and I took the points because it is going to be, and that doesn't mean I don't think the Chiefs will win, because I haven't decided on that yet. I just want the points at this point because it's, the test is so good. It's so good. We'll have much more on the game tomorrow. Not to worry, Chiefs fans. We'll get to it. All right. It's open phones the rest of the way. 869-1240. The IHOP hotline is back open. It's brought to you by IHOP. All-you-can-eat pancakes deal through September 15th. So get ready for that. We want to hear from you. You can get in touch with us on our video stream as well, which is on 12 News Connected. It's on Facebook, YouTube, or X. All the different ways to get in touch with the program. It's yours the rest of the way. We'll come back, more Sports Daily right after this. All right, welcome back, everybody. Glad to be here with you. reached out to me, great listener on social media, intrigued, ears perked up a little bit when I said Keystone Light on Draft at my brother's new restaurant. It's just a brilliant idea from him. And it was fun. It was awesome. It's just hard sometimes to remember. My memory is not good when I go on long weekends like that, that I am no longer 23 years old. And there are consequences for my actions. That draft we were talking about, you and I got like a D draft grade. I kept just getting like D and D minus draft grades. I can't wait to prove all the computer nerds wrong this fantasy football season. Hope everybody is through their fantasy football drafts. I love that weekend. It's so much fun as we get ready to start the season tomorrow with the Chiefs and the Ravens. Let's go to the IHOP hotline. Fred's on the line, wants to talk a little Chiefs with us here. Fred, what's up? Welcome into Sports Daily.
Well, I'm an old-time listener and an old-time follower of the Chiefs. I remember a game we played against Tennessee and Derrick Henry. And the way we played him is we hit him early before he got up to speed to stop him. And the guy I remember doing that was Bolton. He had a great game, had a bunch of tackles against him. So I'm interested in seeing the game tomorrow night to see how they defend Henry and whether they, spy him with Belton or not, and how they're going to handle the quarterback. But I'll hang up and listen to your comments. Thanks.
I appreciate it, Fred. So Derrick Henry, Tommy, quick search, 4 games against the Chiefs, 6 touchdowns in those games, 78 carries, 400 and 47 yards. So, and I don't believe that includes the postseason, but it has been a challenge with him over the years for the Chiefs and for every team in the NFL. He is a generational talent. How much gas does he have left in the tank? I'm not sure, but he'll have a lot in week one of the season. Baltimore is going to be an interesting offense this year. They feel like they've got 2 great tight ends now, with Andrews healthy and likely doing what he did a year ago. They've got Zay Flowers, who looks like he is a really, really good young player. And now they add Derrick Henry into the mix. It will be a challenging offense to hold down. There is no question about it. Baltimore is very, very good this year. And how does Henry fit in with Lamar Jackson? That'll be interesting to see. I mean, do they treat it like a two-headed monster? Do they just feed the rock to Henry the whole time? I don't know, but it will be one of those things too. And this is where I've had a hard time looking at it from a betting perspective, Tommy. If you're the Chiefs, do you feel like you need to get out ahead? Because you know Derrick Henry, if you watch Derrick Henry over his career, he starts to kill you in the second half is when he starts to kill you. Once your defense is a little worn down, it's not usually early in the game, it's late. And so, you know, is the goal then for the Chiefs to strike early and try to take the Ravens' ability in the second half to just pound the rock away? That would be my strategy if I were the Chiefs. You could also look at it as just keep Baltimore's offense off the field and try and pound it with Isaiah Pacheco. There's a lot of different little interesting strategy nuggets in all of this. I sure wish they had Hollywood Brown, but it's hard for me to look at it like from over-under and all that stuff because there's the game planning in this one is fascinating on how you do it. It's not really one of those things where it's like, oh, let's just go play to our strength. You do have to try to counter what the other is doing. And both sides have to do this. The Ravens do too. But it makes it a little tricky and fascinating football game to watch, I'm sure.
Well, let's go back specifically to, you know, Fred talking about Nick Bolton and his role. I think that, you know, when we're talking about Chiefs linebackers, the conversation all offseason has been primarily around the loss of Willie Gay Jr. And I think Nick Bolton, is quietly probably the best linebacker on that roster. And I think part of the reason why he hasn't been talked about quite as much this offseason is because he did miss significant time in the middle of the year last year with injuries. But when he was out on the field early in the season and then late in the year, and especially during the playoff run, he was an impact player for Kansas City. And he's going to be, you know, a guy that, not that he wasn't already a leader on that defense, but he will continue that. I mean, I'm pretty sure that at least a year ago, and I don't know if it started last year or started in previous seasons, but he's the signal caller, you know, for the defense. He was last year. I would imagine he'll continue, you know, that this year as well when he's out on the field. And so he was a large reason why the Chiefs defense was one of the top defenses in the NFL when he was healthy and out there. And so I do think that that's going to be critical tomorrow night. It wouldn't surprise me one bit if the Chiefs defense completely sells out to stop Derrick Henry, you know, and plays man coverage in the passing game. I think that if you're kind of, you know, picking your poison, like if I'm Steve Spagnuolo and I'm picking my poison, I would rather Lamar Jackson try to beat me with his arm than have Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry beat me with their legs. And so I think knowing that, I mean, it wouldn't shock me one bit, you know, if we see some of those Ravens wide receivers, specifically Zay Flowers, and, you know, I think Mark Andrews will probably get involved in a large way too, have pretty solid games, because I think the Chiefs defense is going to do whatever they possibly can do to stop that run.
Well, sure. But again, to the, you know, back to what we opened with Dan with, that's all fine and well, but the Ravens, if they don't run the ball again a ton, no matter what the Chiefs do, it will be a mistake. Like, you have to make this Chiefs defense prove it over and over and over again. And then the pressure becomes on the Ravens defense a little bit. The Chiefs are not at full strength offensively. They're just not. And so now it's like, can this, what I think will be by the end of the season, an insanely potent, high scoring passing game, can they come out of the gates that way? I mean, I guess the good news if you're a Chiefs fan is it's Andy Reid with 2 weeks basically to prepare and an off season. But they, you know, that didn't do them any favors last year in that opener. So look, it's tests all around.
Yeah,
these may very well be the two best teams in football.
I'm not particularly concerned offensively for the Chiefs going into the game. I mean, I know they don't have Hollywood Brown, and you obviously, when you're playing his former team in the Ravens, you'd love to have him, you know, there on the field, and, you know, that's not going to happen. So yeah, you're depleted a little bit in that regard. I'm glad that they have reinforcements in Juju Smith-Schuster. I'm glad that they have reinforcements in Samaje Perine. I think that from an offensive point of view, more than anything, I think that they'll be fine in that regard. I'm not overly concerned about that. More than anything, for me, it's about what do you do to slow down a running game that, you know, I like you mentioned multiple times, John Harbaugh is not going to make the same mistake twice. He's not going to abandon the run twice. At least I don't think so.
But the Chiefs can make him do that. The Chiefs can make him do that if they score quick.
Yeah, but it's easier to make that decision when you have Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins. Like, you know, when you've got those running backs as compared to having Derrick Henry as your starting running back. Like, that's going to be it was indefensible, you know, in the AFC Championship game for John Harbaugh to abandon the run. It'll be even more so if he abandons it tomorrow night with the running back that he's got now in Baltimore. So I do think that that's ultimately going to be the name of the game. I think what will end up happening, in my opinion, is it will come down to the arm of Patrick Mahomes and the arm of Lamar Jackson. That will be the deciding factor in my mind in the game. Who's going to be more effective in that regard? And, you know,
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
In my mind, it's absolutely Patrick Mahomes.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what the Chiefs would love to happen. But that's the point, right? Like, the Ravens don't want this to come down to the arm of Lamar Jackson. They want it to come down to the legs of Derrick Henry, and the legs, to some degree, probably, of Lamar Jackson. Although that's one thing I do wonder about Lamar this year is, with Henry there, does Lamar run less this year than he normally does? I think there's a chance that that happens. I don't know if there is some way to come up with, like, a, don't know if you call it a read option with those two guys, but like those two together is going to be a really interesting pairing. And I cannot wait to see how the Ravens utilize that. But they're talented up and down. Again, it may very well be the best two rosters, best two teams in football right now. We just get them in the opener, and no matter what happens, I wouldn't overreact to it too much. I'll say that too. I'll tell you, we've got our betting insider set up. It's PJ Glasser is going to join us this year for some bets. I can't wait to ask him tomorrow. I love the idea, Tommy, of an Xavier Worthy touchdown prop tomorrow to score a touchdown in that opener. And I just wonder, and I wanted to ask Dan this, we ran out of time, how many shots that he thinks or we think the Chiefs will take to Worthy in the first game. I think it's at least two, just true shots that the Chiefs will take with him. There's no tape on him yet other than the preseason. So it feels as ripe as ever to try and set up those shots. I like that tomorrow as a part of the betting extravaganza that I'm sure will happen in that opener that everybody can't wait for, but it'll be fun. Let's go back to some stuff Shreyas talked about with us there, Tommy. If you missed, by the way, Dan Israel talking Chiefs, Shreyas Lotta talking KU, you can go back and listen to those for free on the Odyssey app. All the shows are there for you, podcasted out. It's a great way to take in the program. If you haven't checked it out, just download the Odyssey app. You can go to kfhradio.com. KU Illinois. Honestly, it's for both K-State and KU, but true road games in week two, 5.5 points feels probably about right for KU, 10 points for K-State. These are, and they're both favored in the games, which they should be. They're both ranked right now. And what's been sort of a wacky college football year, I would say, to start, a little unpredictable, which is not surprising. It's predictable that it's unpredictable, right, with the transfer portal. But you got some weird stuff happening with teams that people thought might be really good, losing games early. These are trouble spots, probably more than they ever have been. True roadies against teams that, you know, every team can get a whole lot better faster than they ever could before. And that's why, like, when we talk about, like, who knows, right? Like, there's so much of this that feels unknown when it comes to college football early in this season. And watching the games that you watched over the first, let's call it a week and a half, I think prove it. Like, it we don't know how this is going to go.
Well, case in point is a team like Florida State, you know, that right? they were a top 10 team and they're 0-2, you know, and they're playing, you know, teams that, you know, should be considered pretty simple and easy victories for the most part in Georgia Tech and Boston College. And that hasn't happened. So yeah, any team can pop up and bite you, you know, at any time. Colorado very nearly got bitten by an FCS team, North Dakota State, last week. So anything can happen in college football. I think that both KU and K-State were similar in their first games in the fact that offensively both teams were a little sloppy. But both teams are replacing their offensive coordinators. Both teams are getting quarterbacks kind of up and running. Jalen Daniels getting him back up and running, and Avery Johnson, it's his team finally. You know, so it was a good warm-up for both teams. I think that there absolutely are some similarities, because if you look at the final stat lines for both Jalen Daniels and Avery Johnson from week one, neither one was particularly great. They were both okay. They were fine. Jalen Daniels only played in the first half. They were fine, but they weren't, you know, mind-blowing. It wasn't like you get crazy by looking at them. Both quarterbacks threw a pick in the opening game. So it was an opportunity for them to shake the rust off. The only concern that I would have for either team going into this weekend's games would be if the rust hasn't fully shaken off offensively for either one. I don't anticipate that happening, but that would be the only thing that could, you know, reach up and maybe, you know, trip them up a little bit in this game.
Yeah, and Illinois and Tulane will have that same concern, right? Like, they'll be dealing with the same sort of thing. It's just very hard to be predictive, I think, right now in college football, because there is so much change, not just for the teams that you follow, but the teams that they're playing against. It's hard to look back and take much from the year before, even in a, you know, even in cases where you have a key returning player. It just feels wildly unpredictable. And apologies to all the spouses out there who may not be as rabid into football as their significant other, because you've got now what we're looking at is a Chiefs opener tomorrow. You got an NFL game on Friday night and the start of high school football. You got college football Saturday with two different windows for K-State and KU. And then the full slate of NFL football for Sunday. We'll see everybody Monday. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. That starts tomorrow. Like, talk to you Monday, family. Like, it is just so much football. And they're all good. Like, everybody we follow is good right now. And that's crazy.
Yeah, the other thing for both KU and K-State that were similarities between the two teams in their opening week was that while both offenses were sloppy to an extent, especially early on, both defenses were really good. And I know that, you know, again, you're talking about Lindenwood and UT Martin, right? But even getting that out of the way, you've got playmakers, no doubt about it, on both teams. You know, and with KU, Melo Dotson had a pick six, and, you know, you had some of the major key playmakers on the Kansas State defense as well. I mean, I really believe that, and I've mentioned this, I know, with Tim Fitzgerald a couple of different times during the offseason, that at least with Kansas State, and maybe even to an extent with KU, because there's been so much talk about the offense and Avery Johnson and, you know, what that's going to look like, that the defense is almost kind of like, hey, we're here too. Hey, remember us? You know, we can be an elite level defense in the Big 12. I think that's a similarity between both KU and K-State, that they both have, you know, potentially elite level defenses and big time playmakers on you know, the roster for both programs.
It's hard to imagine people are going to throw on KU this year. That will not be what gets them hurt, I don't think, defensively. Can they stop the run? If they can, I mean, look, if KU's good in the trenches defensively, they may have the best defense in the Big 12, which is another just wild thing to even consider when you look back at recent history. But that's a big part of what they hope they can do this year. And Illinois will certainly be a better test than they saw against Lindenwood. But that's coming. Can't wait for that. Again, if you missed anything with Shreya Slaughter, great breakdown of that. You can go back on the Odyssey app. You can find it there and dig in, as well as our interview with Dan Israel. We're going to jump back to the Royals when we return. We all know they got to get it stopped. Easier said than done with the blows to the roster that they've suffered lately. But we're going to preview tonight's game when we come back against the Guardians. Here we go. If you want to call in, phone lines are still open for you. The IHOP hotline, 869-1240. You can also leave us video comments on X, on YouTube, on Facebook. 12 News Connected is where a lot of you are watching us. Can't wait to get this thing rocking and rolling this year. We're here. We're in full swing. It's our first full guest insider list for Sports Daily. And it's going to be a blast. A little Royals talk for you when we come back, though. It's all Brockton Caster. Don't go away. All right, welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster with you. As we get you ready for the Royals tonight, you'll hear the game right here on KFH and on the Odyssey app, your home of Kansas City Royals baseball. Look, 7-game losing streak. It has been rough. It has been rough just trying to stay healthy. They've had a lot of things going sideways on them. It would sure be nice if Seth Lugo could return to form as this team's ace, a Cy Young candidate not that long ago. He was really good in his last game against Houston. Really good. Still lost. 7 innings, just a run allowed. He had really struggled, though, in the 4 starts prior to that. But maybe a good sign against Houston, and it sure feels like right now the Royals will need him to be that good again. They're going up against Lively. Let's see. Did they miss Lively the last time through the rotation? Give me 2 seconds. I'll check that for you. They did. So they did not get Lively in that prior series. You got to go back to June 27th for his game against the Royals. 6 innings, 2 runs. So he was pretty effective then. But look, we talked about this off the top. For me, with the Royals, as you get Lugo trying to do his thing, it's all about a longer-term survival play while they sort things out. It has shifted from, you know, pre-collision that derailed the entire season, seemingly. It was, can they win the division? Can they position themselves and do XYZ? And can, you know, the little tinkering that was required. Now, it's almost like a reinvention project can they go through this and figure out, it's not a new way to win, but it's a different way, most likely. You're going to have to lean heavier on starting pitching than you hoped you'd have to, because Urcig is broken. And there ain't anybody coming to solve that right away. Now, the bullpen is a big, big problem. So the offense then has to step it up a little bit and help give a little cushion to the bullpen, but they got to do it without their, you know, one of their stalwarts in the offense, Vinny Pasquantino. So it's got to be a little bit different. You got Tommy Pham there at the top. You know, you got what we thought maybe hopefully they would get at the trade deadline. You have it now. Can they table set a little better for Bobby Witt Jr. and to another degree, Salvador Perez? I think they need to put Perez behind Bobby Witt Jr. in the lineup. It's going to be tricky, Tommy, but it's not the same conversation we were having a week ago. It's not because it's like there's a totally different team out there. Just look at the lineup. Like, it's like we're looking at a different team than we were a week ago.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a full week since this team has scored more than 3 runs in a game. And before that, you know, they were putting runs up on the board for the most part. When they took the first 3 games of the Guardian series, they scored 9, 6, and 5. And since that time, it's been 3, 2, 2, 2, 2, and 1. So it's declined. It's gotten worse, you know, as time has gone on. Now, again, I think fatigue plays a large part in that. And when you've got your star players in the lineup that are still healthy in there, in Witt Jr. and Perez, that are slumping because they're tired, I think that has a lot to do with it. I mean, there's not a team in Major League Baseball that needs a day off more than the Royals do that's coming tomorrow. You've got to salvage this Guardian series. You've got to at least take a game from them in this finale today. You need to do that so you go into the off day and you can try to recoup a little bit and get some kind of rest before you then kick off a big weekend against the Twins. If you want to continue to keep pace in the wild card race and not risk losing the cushion that you have, then you absolutely need to finish off this series well, snap that losing skid, and then take a day off and regroup and get ready to go for this weekend.
And hope the teams around you keep struggling. I mean, the best thing that can happen for the Royals, honestly, for the rest of the season, not necessarily for the postseason and their chances to win in the postseason, that they will have to fix some things for that. But just in general, will be for the cream to continue to rise to the top in the American League. For, you know, Baltimore, the Yankees, and Houston probably. And other than today, Cleveland, just win a whole bunch of games down the stretch, and hopefully they play series against some, you know, Boston and Seattle and Detroit. The reality is, I think their best chance to get there will be for everybody to continue struggling, because it's going to take a little while. It's going to take a little while, I think, to get this.
Hey, look, it's a risky proposition to have to rely on other teams to help you out in your position in the standings and in the playoff picture. You've got to take care of business yourself. That's easier said than done.
And they just need a little time. The problem is they're running out of time, and they just need a little time to try and iron it out. We'll find out tonight. Again, coverage right here on KFH. We'll come back. We'll put a bow on everything next on Sports Daily.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.